My name is Clarence Rick Napier, CEO at 321 BizDev LLC, a consulting firm based in Sacramento County, California. 321 BizDev is a sales system and business development company supporting attorneys, CPAs, corporate dental franchisors, independent dentists, home health providers, medical groups, plastic surgeons, insurance brokers, and real estate brokers. I can be reached toll-free at 833-321-3212 or directly at 726-999-0999. Our website is 321bizdev.com. Today's 321 Biz Development Podcast guest is Carla Sasser at K Sasser CPA, and Carla's website is virtualcfonow.com. Carla's professional services merges the best of accounting, operations management, and information technology. So good morning, Carla. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. And thanks for being a podcast guest on the 321 Biz Development Podcast. I know you have a lot to talk about, and we are probably going to separate or segment the things you want to talk about in five separate podcast episodes. So
okay.
I want to thank you for your time. I know you have a lot to say. I want to start this podcast episode with discussing supporting business growth for companies, profitability issues, cash flow management, you know, asset protection, business continuity, and succession planning. I know those are kind of like headliners for a lot of companies. And I know a lot of CPAs talk about that. So my first question is, what overall business growth, profitability, and cash flow management challenges are companies facing you see as a CPA?
Okay, now you do understand with our current environment, these are kind of loaded questions. Depending on what industry you're in and where your company is located. So I'm just going to stick to general issues that I've seen. But the biggest one I've seen with business growth, profitability, and cash flow management are companies that really have inventories. Inventories take a great deal of capital investment. They're expensive to maintain. And depending on what kind of inventory you have, they could go obsolete, or you could be dealing with spoilage. So a really good inventory management practice is essential for a lot of companies.
Got it. Well, thank you for that. And I do understand what you mean by the current environment and depending on what state that you're in. So I do understand that question, and perhaps on a separate podcast episode, you can talk about the CPA side of that, or the information technology side of that, or the operations management side of, you know, regional issues that are going on right now.
Right.
I think you can probably help probably more people than many, you know, CPAs out there or operations managers. So we will definitely let you unleash your knowledge to the public.
Okay.
So here's my second question. Did the challenges that you're seeing right now, or that you've been, you know, following for the last couple of years, that these challenges happen right now, or did these challenges slowly creep into companies?
You know, they've been there all along. A lot of companies or a lot of entrepreneurs will go into business without a clear understanding of processes and controls that they really need to have in place to be successful. And to be honest, accounting and processes and documentation are really, when you're starting a new business, they are the last thing on a new business owner's mind, because they can be quite costly. But they are a good investment up front.
Mm-hmm.
So just to give you a little heads up on that.
Oh, so I see what you're saying. You're saying that, and I can relate to that because I've never worked at a startup, but we used to have startups as clients when I was in corporate America, and you could tell where many business owners put their efforts when they were starting up. And a lot of times they didn't have like all the manuals created. They didn't have all the workflow items written down. They were kind of like just doing it because they knew how to do the job. But as they began to hire people, I saw that they were running into problems because they would have to stop and do these impromptu training sessions. And then they would go back into production.
That's exactly right. I've seen that a lot.
Well, thanks. And I know you'll talk about that in a future podcast episode. So here's my question number three. In terms of profitability, what are some of the company policies or business identifiers contributing to profitability loss?
Poorly written policies really can contribute to profitability loss, especially, like I said, when it comes to inventory management and even poorly written and followed HR policies. Those can be extremely problematic as you start to hire employees, because you are not only dealing with, you know, the human side of a business, but you're also dealing with a lot of state, local, and federal regulations. So you really have to have all your I's dotted and T's crossed when it comes to those types of policies.
Got it. So here's the other side of the coin in terms of profitability. What can you say that you've seen with your current clients where, and it's almost like I can probably answer the question for you, but there's probably something much different that is done with a company that is working on or experiencing profitability increases. What can you say about that?
Well, I have a perfect example. I do have a current client that was having the inventory issues. They are an e-commerce store, and they were holding a lot of inventory, and it was quite costly, a lot of obsolescence, a lot of stale inventory that they couldn't do anything with, and they had a lot of money invested in it, and they were trying to find financing to maintain the inventory, and it was really a nightmare. So finally, they went to a strictly drop ship model. I mean, they had the name, they had the traffic to their website, but now they are having their suppliers just drop ship orders from their location to this client's customers. And that really turned them around big time. They have recently been purchased for $4 million. So they've gone from a loss, year-over-year loss for the past 5 years, to profitable and being sold at a great price.
Oh, nice. Because I was going to ask you, when you said they had a lot of money invested. Yes. So I guess when you say that they sold the company and you know, for millions of dollars, that kind of tells me that they were not small potatoes.
No, they weren't.
Wow.
They weren't, but they managed to dispose of all their obsolete inventory, and they just made that one switch to that dropship model, and that made all the difference in the world.
Wow, fantastic. Here's a question five that I have. What is the effect of mediocre asset protection company policies? And maybe you can explain a little bit about what asset protection and how that what that is and how it relates to businesses.
That is a really good question, because when you think of assets, you're thinking of physical assets like a desk, a file cabinet, a computer. But assets really encompass more than that. You really have to consider digital assets, information assets, and all of these need to be protected, because if you're not, just like you would have fire insurance for your building and facilities to mitigate any loss. You also need to treat your digital and information assets with the same amount of diligence, and a lot of business owners don't consider that. So, for example, like if you are a home health company, a startup, and you're starting to collect medical information on your clients, and it's perfectly justifiable, you do need this information. It is a digital asset, but once you collect it, you're responsible for protecting it. And then with client medical data, you're stepping on HIPAA laws, privacy laws, so you really have to be careful, or else you're going to get into a whole lot of trouble.
Yes, yes. I used to work in that healthcare sector, and I recall when the HIPAA laws were coming out, a lot of corporations, especially here in California, were scrambling, trying to meet the requirement. it was something else.
Yes.
So go ahead.
You really have to consider your assets in those three separate buckets.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure each is appropriately protected.
So where would intellectual property also fall into the category of asset protection, or would that be more so legal?
It would. No, that would be considered an intangible asset. Mm-hmm. Like if you own a copyright or a patent, you want to make sure that that is appropriately protected, because when you think of an asset, if it's something you can sell in the future for money, then it's an asset. You need to make sure you're protected.
Excellent. I was just thinking about that, because I know some attorneys that I speak with, they go to court and they talk a lot about intellectual property. But it just dawned on me that in the accounting world, you have to, you know, put a value on, you have to evaluate, you know, put a price on these other assets that are intangible. So that's a great, something that popped in my mind. So thanks for clarifying that.
Right. And that is a tricky valuation, believe me. There are experts that do nothing but that.
Wow. And see, that's one of the reasons why I wanted you to come on as a guest on the 321 Biz Development podcast, is because you have a broad range of knowledge when it comes to accounting and operations and information technology. Because since I've known you, I've come to know that being a CPA is not just this tunnel vision type perception that I had before I met you.
Well, good. My job is done.
Well, here's my last question, and then we'll talk about how people can get in touch with you. My last question is, what are the best companies doing to make the business continuity process easy and seamless for new owners, since you did talk about one of your clients recently selling their company?
Right. You know, well, that comes into a little different bucket than business continuity processes, because, you know, once a company buys another company, they're going to start migrating that business into their particular processes.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about business continuity, say you have an owner that dies. What's going to happen to that business? You need clear procedures in place that really document how that business is going to continue into the future, even after an owner may pass away. Who's going to be running the show? What are the processes and procedures that are in place that the new owners can rely on to maintain the success of that business. And this is one area where a lot of companies don't even consider this necessary. And it's really kind of scary. And it's a tough thing because you're talking about, you know, your own mortality when you're a business owner.
Mm-hmm. So a question that popped in my mind, would you say, and I think I know what your answer is going to be, would you say that a company that had a great, in other words, if I'm thinking, because I come from the workflow area as well, would you say that a company that had a great workflow and a great process when their business is about to be sold or transferred or like we just mentioned, becomes a entity to meet the business continuity like guidelines or process, would you say that a company is more valuable if they have a great, you know, operation system, accounting system, and information technology, you know, platform?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know, but one of my favorite shows on TV is The Prophet with Marcus Lemonis. Mm-hmm. And just the way he goes into struggling businesses and fixes them, you know, the people, process, and product, that's the model. So yeah, it's extremely important.
Nice, nice. So Carla, as we end this first podcast episode, how can people contact you if they want to set an appointment or have a few minutes for a consultation?
Sure. They can go to my website. That would be virtualcfonow.com. There is a form there to fill out, and you can schedule an appointment on my calendar. There is also an email address there, info@virtualcfonow.com, that you can contact me through.
All right, nice. So Carla Sasser, K Sasser CPA. The website is virtualcfonow.com. And Carla's email address is info@virtualcfonow.com. So Carla, I want to thank you for being a guest on this first segment of the 321 Biz Development Podcast featuring your CPA practice. And you have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
So listeners, if you want to be a podcast guest, I can be reached at 833-321-3212 or 726-999-0999. To learn more about 321 BizDev LLC, please visit our website at 321bizdev.com and click the About tab. Again, I want to thank Carla Sasser, a CPA at K Sasser CPA, for being a guest on today's show. Make it a great day.